Let's turn it up. Let's turn it on. Yogi Bastantino is playing that song.
Live from your computer, it's time again for the Yogi Show. And here's your host, the teenage girl herself, Josie Pasentino.
Hey! Hi, everyone! Thank you so much for tuning in to the Josie Show. I still never get tired of listening to my song, Teenage Girl, which is in the beginning of our show. You could check it out, and also on our website, josieshow.com. You can order it now. It's finally released, and you can check it out so you can have Josie everywhere you go. Woo! I'm so glad you guys are all joining me tonight. A big hello to everyone in the chat room that are joining us and are having fun in the chat room. Very, very cool. So let me tell you guys what we will do in the next hour or so. We have a really busy show tonight. I mean, it's pretty insane. I have my Kit Kats. I got my treats.
Squirrels have entered the building. Red alert.
Oh, I'm
going on here.
Hello?
Hi, Jolly.
Hi! What's going on?
It's Tina. You know what I'm going to ask you, don't you?
I'm scared. What?
are there any squirrels on tonight?
No, there's no squirrels on tonight. I'm sorry. Yeah, no.
If you'd like to make a call,
really
please
sassy,
hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
We have a really sassy but funny peanut, the squirrel, whatever you want to call it. What is it called? Mascot. Yeah, that's the word for it. Crazy. Anyway, here's what we'll do in the next hour or so. Like I was saying, I got my treats here so I can go all night if I have to. So now here's what I have planned. I want a sugar high right now. Can you tell? Okay, so I have three very special guests tonight. Tonight I bring you actor and model Adrian Bustamante, and then actress Cassie Jordan and singer-songwriter Wally Montgomery, not in that order. we have a packed show tonight for you, and I will also have some fun new segments to tell you about that will start next week. So stay tuned for that big old announcement. It's amazing. I don't know. I make up my own words. It's okay. So definitely an awesome show tonight. So we have a live chat room now on josieshow.com. So if you can go in, if you want to go in there, you could chat it up with us, have fun, and all that fun stuff. Very, very exciting. So let's see. My first guest is here. Awesome. I just got the thumbs up. Okay, perfect. So everyone, please welcome our first guest for tonight. Please welcome the very talented and hilarious actress Cassie Jordan to the show.
Hello.
Hello. Very well deserved class for you. Hi.
Hi, Josie. How you doing?
I am doing great. I am very excited.
Well,
my web designer has sound effects. The wonderful sound effects by our wonderful web designer, Alan. Yes.
Thank you, Alan.
He's so sweet. But, yes, I am very excited to talk with you. I think you're amazing. You are hilarious.
Oh, thank you, Paige. You're so sweet.
Oh, thank you. You definitely are, and I am so excited to get to know you a little bit better. For the listeners here that, are just getting to meet you, can you tell us how you got started in the entertainment business and all that fun stuff?
Being from Nashville, they kind of don't let you out of the town if you don't know how to cook and sing and dance.
True.
So I grew up on Hee Haw, believe it or not, and that was some of the best training I ever saw in terms of timing and writing characters tongue-in-cheek humor, and it was some of the funniest stuff I'd ever seen as a child. There's actually whole movies of me in a onesie about 4 years old dancing in front of the television to the cartoon pigs, for all you old
genius
people that the cartoon pigs that do a kick line across it. And so when I was six, the first thing I got cast in was Free to Be You and Me, where I got to play Atalanta, who's a girl who is a princess who doesn't want to get married, so she talks her father into having a race with three of her suitors, and whoever wins gets to have what they want. And she wins, so she doesn't have to marry anybody. She gets to go on a wild adventure. So that kind of describes me.
I love it. That is awesome. Very, very cool. And who do you consider your role models? Who do you really look up to in the acting business?
Wow. I love Melissa McCarthy. I love Melissa Leo. I love Emma Thompson. I love Helen Mirren. These character and lead actresses that are who they are and don't give a shit what anyone else thinks about their face or their body or... Mm-hmm. And they just do, they know who they are, they have their own self-worth, and they do their work, and their truth comes through, and that's why people are so attracted to them.
Exactly. And they stay themselves, they don't care what other people think of them, which I look up to as well. I love that.
That's one of the things that comes with age is wisdom of saying, you know what, this is my tool, this is what I got to work with, I'm going to work with it, and if you don't like it, there's plenty of other people who do, so bye-bye.
Exactly. See, love it. Motto of life. That should actually be on a t-shirt. We just came up with a t-shirt over here. Very, very cool. And so now you're really talented. And I have to ask you: Are you the only one in the family in the entertainment business, or do you have some? You are.
Yes.
Really?
All of my family is very white collar. They're either doctors or teachers. Or sold insurance, very business-like people, and then there's me.
So when you got into this, they were pretty shocked and stunned, huh?
They were shocked and stunned, but they saw the reaction that people got to me, even at a young age. So they were like, well, my mother and my father, God bless them, were two of the best parents anyone could have because they said, we just want you to be happy. And do what you want to do and be good at it, and we'll support you as long as you get an education in something else.
Right.
So
that's
I had to get a degree.
Right,
so I had to get a degree in abnormal psychology. Was fine. And then they said, "So you have something to fall back on, but pursue your dream." So I did. But I'm glad I did go to college and take all those other classes because now I'm very well rounded and very literate in so many things, as opposed to just. I'm talking about my career. I'm talking about my headshots. I'm talking about acting. Oh, I didn't get that part. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, who wants to listen to that? No one.
I know. Exactly.
I didn't have a conversation about Darfur or women who are being forcibly circumcised in third world countries. This kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather talk about that kind of stuff.
So, I love it.
I'm like, no, Ashley Dudd is one of my heroes, and Angelina Jolie, because they do their job and they have their careers and they have their family, but also they take so much of their own time and use their fame and notoriety to bring so many issues to the forefront, like UNICEF and bombings and women who are still being raped and honor killings and just horrible things.
Right. And is that what you like about this profession that you're in? Or what do you like about your profession? What would you say?
I like bringing joy to people because life is hard.
Yeah.
Life is hard. And you have to find joy in something. And I was talking to my mother the other day, and I said, have you noticed that most of the best music that's come out of the 20th century has come out of heartache or war? And she goes, that's a very good point. Like World War II, all the jazz came out, and the big band sound, and swing came out of it. And then we had Korea that had all that wonderful music that came out. And then we had Vietnam, which was a horrible thing. but we had all this wonderful protest music that came out of it. So I think when people, like, become part of a whole and not so into their own little bubble and get their heads out of their behind and realize there's other stuff going on besides I have cellulite or I didn't get that part or something else like that, it's to put things in perspective. That makes sense?
Yes, definitely.
You're like, this is a serious
exactly.
I'm not sure if we want her on the show anymore.
No, I absolutely love you. I actually am a huge, huge fan because you are hilarious. And I think I started loving you when I seen, I have to say, right when I seen your video, I fell in love with you. Adele's One Night Stand. That was genius. I think I fell in love with you after that. That was hilarious. Can you tell us about the video and where people could find it? Because it's the funniest thing I've probably ever seen.
Okay, so Mama Hen tells all her little chickens to take your little peckers, and I'm sorry, your fingers, that doesn't sound right, your little fingers, and go to funnyordie.com and put in Adele's One Night Stand. On Funny or Die, it's also on YouTube, and I play Adele. Now, let me preface this. I love Adele, the original Adele, the beautiful singer. She's awesome.
Yes.
She's gorgeous. She's brilliant. She's a wonderful songwriter. She plays lots of instruments. She's awesome. I don't slam her in any shape, form, or fashion, okay? But I play Adele with long eyelashes, and I parody her kind of like Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
And there are these two gentlemen named Kelly and Jordan who are part of the Cleveland Comedy Chuckle Brigade, who are a troupe that do funny things on YouTube and Funny or Die, and they saw some of my stand-up, and they said, you would be perfect. Would you mind playing Adele? And I went, the singer? And they said, yes. And I said, well, I sing, but I don't sing like that. And they're like, no, you'll lip sync, but we just need you to be her essence. So I watched every interview she ever did, every concert, so I got her mannerisms down and the way she speaks and how much she smokes and all that. And basically the premise is Adele wrote her whole album, 21, based on one relationship and a breakup. Well, the parody was that it was a one-night stand.
Mm-hmm.
And that that guy can't get her out of the apartment in Culver City, and all she doesn't really talk, she sings at him. And he's just like, okay, get out of my apartment. You're crazy. You're crazy. You're going to kill me, aren't you? And so he goes to a lawyer for protection, and the lawyer actually is also being stalked by Carrie Underwood, who's, like, beating the crap out of his truck.
Yes,
that's
I love it. I love when he's like, I have one shoe. I love him trying to get you out of the door. It's hilarious.
And I'm like,
I got
to go. I heard that you settled down. He's like,
there you go.
Purse. I mean, I can sing, but I can't sing like her. I mean, she's amazing. But if you watch the video numerous times, you'll watch the shoe appear and disappear. And we, like, did that on purpose, so we'd see how many people would go, have you seen the disappearing shoe? The shoe shows up, the shoe goes back. Shoe comes up, the shoe goes back.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the necktie in, like, in Pretty Woman. Like, she undoes his necktie and puts it on the chair, and she's, like, going to give him oral pleasure, and then the necktie is back around Richard Gere's neck. Like, okay, why is there suddenly a necktie again? Who wants to
talk? I have to say, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And you definitely did Adele proud, because you look really good. It was
crazy.
First, I had to, like, do a double take. I'm like, wait a minute. It was really, really cool. So, everyone, you have to check it out. It's hilarious. Funny or Die or YouTube. Adele's One Night Stand. Check it out. You'll love it.
And I'm also on Twitter, which is SassyCassieJ is my Twitter if you want to follow me.
Oh, yes, follow. Awesome. Sassy Cassie. I like it, Sassy Cassie. Nice.
SassyCassieJ. When I first went to LA, people thought Cassie, C-A-S-S-I-E, was Casey. So when I did my stand-up, I came up with, now I am Sassy Cassie with the heart-shaped.
Yeah, that's really smart. Yeah, definitely.
I had to wait for people. Some audiences don't get it, and there's usually one drunk guy in the back going, "Assy." And I'm like, thank you.
Squirrels have entered the building.
Oh, I don't
Red
know.
Alert.
Hey, it's Peanut the Squirrel.
Hi,
I
do
have
you have something to say
for Cassie.
To Cassie?
Yeah, I have
Hi,
a question
squirrel.
For Cassie.
Oh, you have a question for Cassie.
Are you a gray
awesome.
Squirrel?
I'm a gray squirrel. I live in a tree.
Do you shake your bushy tail?
Yeah, but I have a question. What's your favorite
yes,
kind of
what?
Nut?
Wait, say it again?
What's your favorite kind of nut?
Oh, goodness.
That's a loaded question. almond.
Pistachio.
Actually, if I have the money, I will get the, I think they're Manaloa, the macadamia nuts from Hawaii that are covered in chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Those are sinful. And if I have the money, that will be my, like, treat to myself for the week is my own little can, and I don't share it with anybody.
Mm. I like Cassie. You should have her on every show.
The macadamia nuts.
Absolutely. Well, you have a new fan from Peanut because he's in love with you and he wants you to come back on the show, which is my excuse now. We'd love to have you back on. It's true.
Oh, I'd love to.
That'd be awesome. Very, very cool. And so I want to talk some more about the stuff that you do because you have done tons of different roles and other fun stuff. So, if I understand correctly, you have you had a lead role in the short film titled Drained. Will you tell
yes.
us a little bit about that and your role in there?
Everybody knows who John Heder is, right? He's Napoleon Dynamite, the actor.
Oh, yes,
Napoleon
yes,
Dynamite.
Yes, yes.
Okay. John Heder and his friend, Nick Peterson, wanted to make a stop-action animation short that had no dialogue but just had original music because they have a friend who's a composer and was going to write music for this. But they wanted to have real people in the animation. And to explain what kind of like stop action animation looks like, has anybody seen The Ring? The girl when she crawls out of the TV, it kind of she stops and she stutters and she's in black and white and she stutters. Well, that's the camera shutter closing 1/1000th of a second over and over and over again, over and over again. So Drained shot that way. We're in a complete black room except for a camera and a strobe light that shoots over and over and over again. I'm covered head to toe in latex from about the middle of my chin all the way down to my feet. And I have nothing on except thong and nipple covers. And there's four women. I'm telling you the truth. There's four women, and we all play the same woman. And the film is about addiction, how addiction not only affects the person who is addicted to things, it's how it affects the woman in life and how it kind of it's draining on the relationship is why it's called Drained. So this husband comes in, and he's addicted to alcohol, and it affects her, and it sticks to her body. And then she gets all of the alcohol labels and beer bottles and beer cans off of her and throws them in the middle of the floor. And then he leaves. He comes back in. He's covered in pornography. Same thing happens. Then he comes back in. He starts having sex with lots of people. He comes in covered in condoms. And they stick to the girl. She gets them off of me. And then each girl, there's five of us all playing the same woman. I'm in the middle of it. I wake up with 10,000 condoms stuck all over me. I sit up. I realize my husband has been unfaithful to me and may have infected me with serious sexually transmitted diseases that could be deadly or not treatable in any shape, form, or fashion. He comes back in. He has syringes stuck all over him. We have a fist fight. He grabs my arm. His fingers have turned into a syringe. And he's infected me with what's in the syringes. And I start throwing up black gook into the pile of the porn and the alcohol and the condom. And then he comes back in with another woman and leaves us. And then pile eats us.
That sounds interesting. That's
a film. It's about a man totally using a woman and degrading her and just using her up and trading her in for a new model. Which is too funny because we've got two married men who wrote this.
Really?
Yes, that have daughters who wanted to say something about the way men treat women in today's society and just infect them with their problems and their addictions and then just leave them.
Interesting. So it really shows you basically, what's the problem and ways that you could fix it and all that interesting stuff, huh? Mm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And the funny thing is, there's no dialogue. It's all body movements and music. And it's it's gone to at least 9 different film festivals, and it's won every single one of them. New York, Washington, D.C., Irvine. I know it was going to Hong Kong. It won one in Canada. It won best experimental short. Every single one of them has won.
Wow. Congratulations. That's really cool.
Thank you. And the one that really meant a lot to me was the New York one that we won. Susan Sarandon was one of the judges, and I adore her. So I'm like, Susan Sarandon has seen me with no clothes on, a black goat covered in latex. Rock on.
That's a shocking moment. That's hilarious.
So someday I should go up to Susan and go, you know that so with the people throwing up with the porn and the alcohol, I'm the one in the middle. She'll go, okay, you're crazy person. I just might not go away.
That is crazy. Well, that sounds very interesting. Probably not something that I should watch because I'm 17, but my parents will be like, I don't know.
No. You don't understand. There's no nudity in it. It's just that we're just like mannequins is why it looks that way.
Okay. That's not that bad then.
I'm covered in latex from head to toe. We all are. So it's like and it's all disgruntled. So I kind of look like I'm made of tree bark, if that makes sense.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one we could all ages, right? Because that's something. Sweet.
The younger kids wouldn't understand it. They wouldn't understand it, but I mean, there's nothing. It's not porn.
Right.
And you kind of get the image of there's, like, pieces of Playboys all over him. There's no, like, sexual genitalia or things being shown. It's mainly the premise of what he's doing to his wife.
Okay. Okay, so I can watch this without getting in trouble.
Perfect. No.
Perfect.
www.draintthemovie.com.
Awesome. So Drained. Check it out.
The movie.
And also, you're in a lot of other really cool things. You did some episodes of The Office, Nip Tuck,
yes.
Girls Behaving Badly, to name a few, some popular shows. Can you tell us about some of those experiences?
Let me remember Girls Behaving Badly. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but one of the stars was Chelsea Handler. Now, I know everybody knows who Chelsea Handler is. And the premise of the show was there were 5 women of different sizes, shapes, and colors, and it was kind of like it was a gag show. So they would set up a premise, and they would have hidden cameras everywhere and take people's reactions to the weird situations they had.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had one thing where they were at Cheryl Teague's house, and Cheryl Teague was designing a dungeon with all this S&M furniture.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hilarious.
That is
hilarious. Cheryl Teague's is like cream of the crop, all vanilla, normal, and just, I want chains here, and I want a cage here, and it was really hilarious. But the premise I had was Chelsea Handler, and I'm trying to think of her name, the girl who played LaFonda, again, in Napoleon Dynamite, who's married to one of the Lakers, is on the show, and they're a lesbian couple, and they come into my flower shop because they want to buy flowers for their wedding nuptials. And so I have designed all of these flower arrangements and this big long creche and this archway and their bouquets and their boutonnieres and this, that, and the other. And I'm just going to say LaFonda. LaFonda and I go in the back to discuss prices and when and where, and Chelsea's left in the room with all the flowers. And these guys keep coming in, interviewing for a job, and she tries to go home with them. She's like, I'm really not gay. I needed to eat. I needed a place to live. I'm just gay for pay. Can you get me out of here? Take me home with you. And all the guys are like, really? Okay, let's go. And all the guys are taking Chelsea home. It was quite funny. It was called Two in a Bush. of the gag.
That is hilarious. I think I've seen a commercial for Girls Behaving Badly, and it looks hilarious. I mean, with Chelsea Handler, I mean, it has to be hilarious.
It was on the O Network. It was part of Oprah's channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool that you got to do, like, these, like, really cool shows, like The Office and Nip Tuck, which I'm addicted to The Office, by the way, so that's really cool. I read your bio, and I was like, really? Yes.
The Office was really wonderful. I played Leslie's girlfriend, the lovely African-American guy on the show. He's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Stanley. His real life name is Leslie, so I always call him Leslie. People are like, who's Leslie? I'm like, I'm sorry, Stanley. Stanley's girlfriend. It was the episode where Don Kukowski and his wife were setting Steve Carell up on a date, and he didn't realize it was a date until he saw how pretty she was, and then Date Michael came out. And he's certainly wearing the beret with a little kangaroo on it, and his shirt's open, and he's acting like a complete ass. And Rainn Wilson is bugging him. It was more fun when we weren't shooting than we were shooting to watch Rainn Wilson and John Krakowski and Steve Carell try to make each other laugh.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Because then we get behind the camera and just bug the crap out of each other. And there's a large room of us, and we're, like, trying not to laugh because it gets expensive take after take if you keep screwing up and they don't even care. And Mindy Kaling would come in and say one of her funny things, and then she'd leave, and we're like,
that is so cool. Not a lot of people know what goes on behind the scenes. Is there any, like, funny moments that you can recall that happened, or any embarrassing moments behind the scenes?
I can tell you two things. Stanley and I and another woman were supposed to leave together, which was totally to send Michael into Outer Limits, because Michael ends up with no woman, and Stanley goes home with two. And he's walking across the parking lot, and Stanley accidentally hits Michael with his car, and Michael's supposed to roll across the hood and then be, all right, I'm okay. Okay, they totally cut it, but we spent 6 hours trying to figure out how to get Steve Carell to dive across the hood of this car.
Oh, wow.
And they never, and then it never made the episode, which made me really upset, because I'm like, oh, I'm in the car. Okay. But
I
the
know,
thing
right?
that was so... Yeah, it never ended up in the episode. The episode cut right after, trying to think of her name. Jenna starts lactating because the girl with blonde hair starts crying. Because
yeah.
Rainn Wilson tries to get her to lactate the whole episode. Because he's like, he walks around going, and she'll never lactate. And then the blonde girl on the show starts crying, and she's all upset. And then Jenna starts lactating, and that's when they did the show. They cut it out. I don't know why.
There's some
of the footage of Steve Carell rolling across his car and all of us going, "Hey,
that is
but
hilarious.
You know the Make-A-Wish Foundation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. There was a man. There was a young teenage boy who had terminal cancer, who was the biggest fan of The Office, and his last wish was to be on The Office. And they had arranged it all, and it was going to be this episode, and then he passed away.
So he didn't
get to, but his mother and his father and his other brother came and spent the week with us, and they're extras on the show. They ate every meal with Steve and all the cast. They got a script. They took them on tours. They met everyone, and because we were in the Jillian's, they have a whole set of pool balls that aren't real pool balls, because real pool balls make too much noise on television.
Right.
So everybody signed one to give to the family, and they just loved it.
Oh, that's so
cool.
Why,
I'm
glad they got to, like, you know, enjoy and, you know, get that opportunity. That's really amazing. I love
it. And they dedicated the whole episode. If you watch the episode at the beginning, this episode is dedicated to, I'm sorry, his name is escaping me. But just that they took the time out of the shooting to show them the whole set and how to work it, and they wrote in parts for them, and they got to eat lunch with them all week and hang out with Steve in his air trailer and hang out with Rainn Wilson.
Wow.
And John Krakowski and Mindy Kaling, and it was wonderful for them.
It is. That's beautiful. I love that. That is so, so cool. I'm glad they got to have fun. Very cool.
They did.
Yeah. I love that. And I have some more fun questions here for you. So you are hilarious. And here's a fun question specifically for you. Do you have a favorite joke or something you could tell on the radio? I know we're putting you on the spot, but do you have anything that pops up in your mind? I had to ask.
Okay, it's about can it be PG-13? Okay. Yes, I have a favorite joke. Why do Southern women not attend orgies?
Why?
Too many thank you notes.
Oh, my goodness.
That is my favorite joke.
Did you hear her? Did you hear her?
No,
what
did you say?
She's like, I'm using that one. That's hilarious.
That's one of my mother's favorite jokes. Because she has so much stationery and thank you notes, and Southern women write thank you notes for everything. I love that. Because it's not.
I love it. I had to ask that question. I had to ask.
It's not dirty. It's naughty. Naughty is fine.
Naughty is fine. Yes. It's all good. It's all good. Love it. And also, I understand that you also could do a couple of different accents, both Southern and British. Will you do them for us right now? Can you give us a little taste? I've seen those.
I already did them.
Yeah, you did. You did the Adele one, and then you did a little bit of the Southern. Yeah, that's true.
Do you want Fiddly Dee? Do you want like Scarlett O'Hara like to be on GCB? Or do you want Redneck?
Redneck.
Well, I've got some skull in my purse, and I've got a fifth of Jack, and I'm going to go home and make a casserole. I'm going to make some Frito pie with some Fritos and some Hormel chili, and you let it sit till it gets all baked together with some Velveeta on top. I swear it's
Oh, it's genius. That's hilarious.
British. Josie, how long have you been doing this lovely radio program? Are you being supervised? And do you have a script supervisor to make sure you are being linguistically and academically and grammatically correct?
I love that.
You're using proper punctuation. I don't know. I'm just riffing. I don't know. I'm just like, what?
That's crazy. I can't do any accents. I can't do any of it. I wish I could. I wish I had that talent. That's so cool. Like, how do you learn like a different accent? Do you just like, you know, constantly watch like different shows with different accents, or like what do you do? I like always want to know that because I cannot do an accent at all.
What I do personally is. I went to AMDA in New York, which is the American Music and Dramatic Academy, go AMDA, and they had a whole class in voice and diction where you learned different accents and where people enunciation, where they have what diphthongs are, like, let me think, lot, how you spell Southern lot is L-A-I-K-E, and normal, it's like. So you figure out in the vowels and consonants where people stretch words and where people smush words together. Like Courtney, Courtney accents, they really try to put things together. Like together, T-H becomes an F. They really like to put things together.
Oh, that's
you pretty
awesome.
Much have to have a script and you have to analyze it. In terms of diphthongs and how people do accents, in terms of where they put THs, where they put diphthongs, where they put things.
Sweet. Now I want to do it. Now I have to learn an accent because I got to be on fancy.
German and Swedish and Russian are quite hard because our mouths aren't used to that, and their mouths aren't used to ours either. They're like, what? And I had to do, I did a bastardized version of, like, German in a movie I did, like, 2 weeks ago, but I had to be a psychologist. And I thought out, what makes you think that you are dead? Is it anyone in the room that you think might want to hurt you?
That is genius. Now I need to do some accents. That is genius. I love that. Oh, my goodness. We actually ran out of time, but I absolutely love you. We need to have you back on the show, okay? Anytime you're available. Sweet.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Cassie Jordan. Oh, and one last time, can you give, like, your websites and social networking sites and all that fun stuff so we can all check you out?
If you want to see my reel and all my pictures and all that good stuff, it's www.reel, R-E-E-L, access, wait, real access, reelaccess.com/talent/Cassie Jordan. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Twitter under Sassy Cassie J. I'm on Funny or Die. I'm on YouTube. IMDb. Check out my movie that's on Netflix right now and Redbox called Redemption Road that I star in with Michael Clark Duncan and Luke Perry and I'm trying to think of all the people. Taryn Manning. It's a really good movie and it would make me some money.
Okay, awesome, because I have Netflix and I'm going to check it out. Definitely.
Redemption Road. It's a really good movie.
Redemption Road. Writing that down. Awesome. But I have to thank you once again so much for coming on the show. We absolutely had so much fun. Peanut loved you. We loved you.
Hey,
thank you
Peanut.
So much.
You saucy little thing, you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Cassie Jordan. We loved you.
Okay. Have a
lovely
weekend, kittens. Bye.
You too. Bye. Sassy Cassie Jordan. That's how you can remember. Love it. So, yeah, follow, add her, like, check out her website, Cassie Jordan. I know I'm so running behind, people. I'm so sorry. But my next guest here is here. Everyone, please welcome Adrian Bustamante.
Hey, how are you doing, Josie?
Hi, I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been listening, so it's going to be hard to follow up Cassie, so I'm a little nervous, actually.
No, we are very excited to have you. I'm very excited.
No, no worries.
We'll We will have a lot of fun. You've done everything, basically, I should say. You've done a lot of roles that I want to get to. But first, what age did you start acting, and when did you realize that this was what you wanted to pursue as a career? You wanted to do nothing else.
I started a lot later than a lot of people do in the industry, for most people that I've met. I just started probably about 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago now. I was doing real estate for years, and then the market fell south. I had dabbled a little bit in like some extra work and stuff like that in acting, and then I knew I really liked it, but I didn't know how much I loved it. So I decided to put all my efforts into seeing what would happen if I just kind of went at it as a career, and it was the best decision I ever made. So here I am today.
And we're glad you made that decision. We are. Yes, and who would you say are your role models or influences in the industry? Who do you really look up to?
It's always so hard when I get that question from people. It's like one of those things where I watch so much different types of film and whatnot, but if I have to, like, pick somebody just in regards to how they handle their careers and everything like that, I really like people like Clive Owen, and actors like him who they pick things because they really want to do them. You know, they do the big budget films and stuff like that because we all need to make money and get paid, but they still go back to the films that they love doing and want to be a part of and just because they fall in love with the scripts. So it's people like him and like the Adrian Brody's and things like that that I really have a fun time watching.
Absolutely. I agree. And here's a really, really good question that I love to ask. Was anyone in your family in the entertainment business, or are you the only one that's doing acting and doing this route?
You know, my brothers and my sister are very artistic. None of them are in this side of the business. My younger brother, mm-hmm. he likes directing. He's done a lot of short films and stuff like that for his own stuff, which are really, really good. His name's Paul. And my older brother's a great artist. My younger sister, she's a very talented little artist herself. So everyone's mm-hmm. got a little bit of piece of artistic flair to them, but I'm the only one in front of the camera, so...
Very cool. Artistic family. Love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And so you're of course an actor and a model. And I was wondering, would you ever consider doing, you know, producing or directing or something behind the scenes?
You know, down the road. Yeah, I know, right? Down the road, it's one of those things I've always thought of. And you know, when you're doing a film or you're doing a commercial or whatever you're shooting, you always kind of think of it. Every once in a while, I'll think of it as from a director's standpoint, and I think maybe down the road it'll be something to kind of get into and producing. But right now, I love acting so much, and so much mm-hmm. so early in my career that yeah, I have a hard time kind of thinking about anything else except for this. But yeah, definitely be fun to get into down the road.
Exactly, definitely. And as an actor, what type of roles do you look for? The more dramatic or comedies? What'd you say?
You know, I will take on, if I like it, I will take on most anything. And it's being early in the career, you kind of have to take on some stuff that you don't necessarily like as much, but I've been lucky enough to do a lot of things that I've really loved. My love is for drama. I love dramatic acting. If I get a chance to do it, I will jump on it wholeheartedly. So I think that's really where my love is. Comedy is so hard. So somebody like Cassie that you just talked to before is like their ability to do comedy and be able to do it so well is mm-hmm. such a hard thing to grasp, and timing and all that stuff. So it's something that I'm working on, and I like doing, but I think it more scares me than anything else. So I kind of just hold tight to drama.
And you are really great. You've done a lot of things. Let's talk a little bit about some of the work you are doing and some that you've done. First, can you tell us about a role that you have in a ABC's movie, Apartment 23? I think there's a longer title for that, right?
Yeah, the one Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. It aired, I think, like the last week. They kind of shifted around the scene that I was in, but it was really the show's really, really funny. You know, it starts some great people in it. And it's done really well. They got picked up for another season, so I'm happy for them. I was just in one episode of it, and I played a busboy that basically the main actress, Crystal Ritter, she comes in kind of making out with this guy into my kitchen. Unbeknownst to her, I'm kind of standing there, and it's just kind of like my reactions and how I'm reacting to her just coming, barging into my kitchen, making out with somebody that she's drunk, and she thinks that this person looks like someone else, and it's really more in-depth, really good episode, but it was a lot of fun working on it, and anytime I get a chance to work with talented actresses or actors, it's always a blast too.
That is awesome. That is hilarious. That has to be, you know, really fun when you have to do the reactions where, you know, you don't really exactly speak, but you're like, you know, because, I mean, you could tell what you're probably thinking. You're probably like, okay, what the heck are you doing in my
kitchen? Yeah. it's a lot of fun. Like I said, comedy is a scary little part for me. So at the same time, it's always fun to kind of do something different and get out of the box. And I think that's why I love acting so much, because it's always a new challenge every day. So it was definitely a lot of fun.
Exactly. I like that you challenge yourself. You mix it up. That's good.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to mention having 4 festival acceptances this year. Congrats. Yes, I have to mention that. Can you tell us about My Night with Andrew Cunanan? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, it's Cunanan, but close enough. Usually people Cunanan, like really
yeah.
get it wrong. But you know what? I'm really happy with the amount of festivals that accepted the film so far this year. It was really fun to work on. The director slash co-star of it, Devin Core Thomas, he also wrote it. It's basically based on a true story of the director. A lot of people kind of get it mixed up, and they think it's kind of like a bio of the person, Andrew Cunanan, who was who ended up by killing Johnny Versace over 10 years ago, 15 years ago now. But it's not. It's actually about the interaction between Devin and this character that really happened some odd years ago before Cunanan actually went on his killing spree. So the story is basically about making a decision. They meet in a bar, and Devin basically gets to make a decision whether he's going to go home with this person that he has no idea is a serial killer, or he doesn't go home with them. So it's a really good film, really, really well written, and Devin did such a great job of making it kind of, you know, very artsy and does it really, really well. So it was a fun to kind of dive into a real character and again, work with getting lucky to work with some talented people. So
definitely. Sounds great. I mean, it obviously has to be great. 4 festival acceptances this year. Had to repeat it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, it's good. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's definitely it's actually screening this weekend in Hawaii.
Also, you also had a role in the film Red Tails, which was co-directed by George Lucas. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, that was a dream come true to be able to work with that director on a day, because I'm a huge fan of the Star Wars films and, you know, all these different things that he's done in the past. So, you know, getting a chance to work with him on set was amazing. You know, so I always feel blessed when those things happen. You know, a lot of people don't get a chance to work with people that you grew up watching or you really idolize in a certain position. So, I was a bartender in the film, you know, working with some of the actors as well that were in that. It was some reshoots. So it was a fun, long day, but fun nonetheless, getting a chance to, you know, get directed by someone of his status. So
right, exactly. And do you ever get, you know, nervous going into a new project, or are you just like, I am just going to do my thing and focus on that?
Yeah, you know, I think there's always a lot of little nervousness going into it, because I mean, as much as I like to tell myself that, you know, I think as an actor you have to truly believe in yourself and you have to know that, you know, you're going to be able to get the job done, but you know, there's always a little sense that you're like, oh man, if I don't do something right, they're just going to fire me. So, I mean, especially when you're working with someone like Lucas, or you're working on a bigger set for a larger network or doing something like that, you know, deep down it's not going to happen. But at the same time, you know, there's always a little bit of nervousness, but I think that's what makes this job so much fun. It's not the same old thing every day where you go into an office and know that you get to clock out at 5 and you clock in at, you know, 8 or 9. So.
Exactly, exactly. And you, I don't want to forget any of these, but you have some questions in the chat room that I want to read from some fans before I forget here. So here's from Bearcat2010 in the chat room. Hello. they ask, who is your all-time favorite co-star to work with? That's a tough question.
My all-time favorite co-star to work with. Jeez. You know what? I just got a chance to work with this past year. I got a chance to work with Elijah Wood, and yeah, so far I really think that he's been the most fun. Not to kind of put down any of my other co-stars, if Devin's listening,
right.
I'm sorry. But just in regards to learning and seeing how an actor that's been doing it as long as he has and has been so successful is still able to stay grounded and have fun doing what he's doing. All that stuff came into play. So we worked on another short called Set Up Punch. It's not on IMDb or anything like that, so no one really knows too much about it until it comes out. But it was really, really fun to work with him. So I had a blast doing that earlier this year.
Yeah, I bet that was a blast. Very
yeah.
Cool. Love it, love it. Thank you for the question, Bearcat2010. And also from Alan in the chat room, here's an interesting question. Do people stop you on the street and ask you questions as if you're really your character that you portray on TV? Do anybody do that? Does anybody do that to you?
No one's ever done that to me, thankfully. But I've heard from other people that have, you know, been in larger movies that have like a big following, and they do have a lot of interactions with people that have a hard time separating the film
right.
or the TV show from reality. So I'm wholeheartedly waiting for that day when someone like loves what I do so much that they can't separate me from my character. So not yet.
It's coming. It's coming. You did a lot of roles, you know, that, you know, you portray, you know, EMTs and, you know, police and all that other stuff. You one of these days you're going to get someone that asks you, you know, are you really an EMT in real life? Are you a policeman?
Yeah, it's funny. That's actually happened on set because when we were working on a TV show called Trauma for NBC for a year, we're always in our EMT gear. And there was instances where people were actually having an issue. I think one lady said that she saw some man choking. And so she immediately runs to, like, myself and my co-star, and we're like, we're not real EMTs. It's like, you really need to go find somebody different. We, like, tried our hardest to help them find a real EMT, but we're like, we're not real. It's all fake. It's just cameras. So that stuff happens, but yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. See, I knew there hasn't been something, because that's the first thing that I would think if I was on set. I'd be like, hey, an EMT, check that out. But yeah, it's acting.
Not saving
very
anybody
cool.
today.
Right, exactly. And I'm also, you did a lot of fun stuff here. You're also in a new National SeaWorld commercial. Can you tell us about that? Ooh.
Yeah, that was fun for me. Still do a lot of commercials, which I love it just because it's acting and it definitely pays the bills. But I love amusement parks, so we got to go shoot in SeaWorld down in San Diego for 3 days, and I got to play the dad. And sadly, I didn't get to ride the roller coaster that we're portraying in the commercial, but it was still fun. So yeah, it's airing right now. So occasionally, I'll get the Facebook message or the email or the text message. Hey, I think I just saw you on a commercial, and it's always fun when that happens. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so cool. I would love to do a commercial that's like, you know, at a theme park or something, and then, you know, you're done doing your job, and then, you know, go on a roller coaster, have fun.
Exactly. You know, you get to break away and have a little fun too. So yeah, definitely.
Exactly. That's the place to be. Love it. And I'm thinking about the fun ways that you could throw in there with working. But what people always, you know, love to know this. What's it really like behind the scenes when you're shooting a movie or a film or a commercial? What's the difference between those?
I mean, there's not a whole lot of difference. It's still acting, and it's still, you know, just being professional but having fun. I'm a huge proprietor of having fun on set. Like, I'm always trying to goof around and keep it light and have fun, and unless something, you know, is really, you know, you need to be serious for whatever reason. But there's a lot of waiting around. I'm sure other actors or actresses told you the same thing, but I always say that, you know, we get paid for sitting down and we act for free, because we spend so much time, like, kind of just in limbo waiting for the scene to pop up, whether it's a commercial or a TV show or a film. So it's just being able to handle that downtime.
Definitely. Sounds like fun. Very cool. Interesting. Love it. So let's see here. I also want to talk about, you had a role in The Young and the Restless. How different is shooting a soap opera, you know, from a film or a movie? I hear that's a little different. Is it?
You know, it is. It is. It's very fast. They shoot very, very fast. They go through, I think, 40 some odd scenes in a day, you know, so it's very quick. You get everyone on the set gets their script usually the day of, and they have to memorize their stuff very quickly. So my preconceived notions of soap operas before I got on the show was, these are horrible actors, you know, this is really, really bad. Right. Like, I'm doing this strictly for the paycheck. And, you know, once I got there, you realize that all these actors and actresses are so well-trained, and they're very good at what they do. And the reason a soap opera looks cheesy is because of the actors, or it's because the way they shoot it. It's meant to be somewhat cheesy, and it's been like that, and it isn't the fault of the actors. It's definitely just the way it's shot and the way it is. So all those people are very talented people, and they, you know, they definitely work for their money. So it was a lot of fun. Just like anything else, I don't think I've really worked on too many sets that I wouldn't have to say that I had a good time doing it. So
definitely. And plus, that's what makes soap operas fun, you know, the crazy, you know, weird kind of storylines and stuff. So that's fun.
Exactly.
Cool.
You know, you're good today and you come back tomorrow. So it's all good.
Exactly. Love it. And so I always love checking out actors' resumes and stuff. a little bit of a stalker when it comes to love checking that out. But what can I say? It's fun. Anyway, there's always one section that I just find so interesting. It's the special skills section. I like that one. So in yours, I found that you had some stunt training, military training, police academy, baseball, pro bowl, to name a few. I mean, different things. Can you tell us about any of those? It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, with the military training stuff, we got trained for like a film that I did a while ago called Beast. That I don't believe it's seen the light of day yet, but they took us out for like a week and they trained us how they see that do military training for films. They took us out, told us how to shoot guns, how to, you know, act like you're basically in the military. So, you know, stuff like that comes into play all the time. So you get training like that. You get gun, you know, handgun training from people that are, you know, so we got sent over to a police academy one time to do like handgun training and kind of how some of these guys act when they're in this academy. I played baseball pretty much all my life, so that's where that comes into play. So it's really funny because you never know when something that you've done, you know, 10, 15 years ago or still do to this day actually comes into play for whatever you need to do for that scene or for that commercial or whatever. So it's all a bunch of different stuff that I guess I've randomly done in my life now.
That is so cool. Loved it. You do a lot of amazing, amazing things.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, anytime. I love checking out that part of the resume.
It's your job. It's what you're doing. Yeah, I'd be really upset if you didn't. If I came on your show and you didn't ask me questions.
Exactly. It's interesting. What can I say? So it also here's a really good question for you know, for people who really want to get into you know, acting and all that fun stuff. Do you have any audition tips that you could share with any of our listeners that maybe for the aspiring to be in the acting business?
You know what? The biggest thing that when people ever ask me that is, you know, what to do in an audition is basically just be confident. If you walk into an audition room with no confidence, it's seen by everybody, whether you know it or not. And I think that's just the biggest thing is be confident, keep it simple, and just go in there and do your thing and have fun with it. Because a lot of people go in there very tight and very wound up, and it's very, very noticeable from the people's casting director standpoint or the director's standpoint. And if you can't be comfortable in an audition, you know, they're not going to really trust you to be comfortable on their $1 million set or whatever it is they're doing at the time. So just confidence. That's huge.
Exactly. Be yourself. Nobody does.
Exactly.
Fun. Have fun.
Exactly. Have fun with it. Have fun. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you hear no, it's all good. Just try again.
Yeah, exactly. It's if you exactly. If you have a no, please don't take it personally. Just move on.
Exactly. Other actors that I had on, most of the time they say, you know, if they hear a no, it's not because of you, it's because, you know, you don't fit right with the role that they're, you know, they want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've had instances, totally. I've had instances where I've heard a no and then, you know, I hear from the director and the casting director through my management or my agency, like, oh, we loved him, but he was too tall. Or we loved him, but he just looked too young. Or it's all these little intangibles that go into it. That's why you just can't take it personally. You know, maybe some people do think you're not that good, but most of the time it's going to be some weird thing that you shouldn't take personally and just move on and know that, you know, that role that you're looking for is definitely coming. So.
Exactly, exactly. Great tips. Thank you for that. Yes. And do you have some websites or social networking sites that our listeners can go to and keep up with you and chat with you and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, definitely. You can reach me on Facebook, but you have to look me up as Raul Adrian Bustamante if you want to look me there, or you can just go to my fan page at Adrian Bustamante. There's two of them. You can go to my website, adrianbustamante.com. You can follow me on Twitter. You can look me up either by Adrian Bustamante or my handle is rbustamante25. Same thing, you follow me on IMDb. You can do whatever you want that way, look me up on YouTube, all that fun stuff. But, if anybody has any specific questions or wants to contact me personally, you can do that off my website or you can just follow me on Facebook, and I'm always down to chat.
Awesome. Like, add, follow, subscribe, all of the above.
Check it out.
Yes. And I love that you, you know, take time to talk with your fans. Most people don't, you know, do that. They're, you know, for whatever reason, or they have their managers. I like that you personally talk to people. Kudos to that.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's fun. Fun to talk to people actually more breaking your career. So it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. And so here's some fun questions for you. So what are some things that you like to do for fun when you take a little work break?
For fun. You know what? I love still going to the movies. I love hanging out with my girlfriend, just relaxing, going to dinner, you know, the normal stuff, just being outdoors, going hiking, going to the beach. All that fun stuff is definitely a good break from reality.
Exactly. The norm. Very cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. Love it. And so here's a fun question I love to ask, you know, my performance guests or, you know, the actors. Do you have any on-camera or behind-the-scenes embarrassing moments that you could share with us? Anything crazy happen?
Embarrassing moments. I'm trying to think. Gosh,
love that question.
That's a really good question because I've never had that one before.
Good.
You know what? None I can think of. That probably makes me sound really boring, but none that I can think of off the top of my head. I can't think of any fun or embarrassing moments that have happened personally to me. You know what? We've done. There's been tons of stuff. Thankfully, not to me, but a lot of pranks go on behind the scenes to make things light and keep it easy. So, but none directly at me, but I've definitely been a part of some. So, but yeah.
Darn. I'm glad you haven't been a target, though. That's good. I'm glad you haven't
had any
traumatizing.
It makes me feel good. Yeah. Now that I put it out there, though, it's probably coming soon. So.
And see, that's going to be my excuse to get you back on, you know, and update
exactly. What's
embarrassing. Yes.
Exactly. I have to give you an update on my embarrassing moment on set.
What can I say? You know, that's what we do here. I love it. But definitely, we'd love to have you come back on, definitely,
anytime.
Available.
I really appreciate it. You're great. To do what you're doing right now at such a young age is unbelievable. So you're doing great, mm-hmm. Josie. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate your time. And before we let you go, because we are running out of time, I really want to ask you, are you currently working on any other projects, and what's some goals for the future? What's next for you?
the next big thing is I'm going to be working on this independent film called Dark Harvest. It's kind of a sci-fi horror film. We'll be shooting that up north. Really talented cast of young actors and amazing director-writer Sinoy Hinojosa. And their production company, Emerging Artist Productions. So that's the next big thing. Got some smaller commercials coming up too, but that's the big thing that I'm really looking forward to. I just put myself on tape for another short film that I'm really interested in too. So if that comes through, I'll let you know how it goes for you.
Sweet. Yes, keep us updated. And definitely thank you so much for coming on the show, and absolutely, we'd love to have you back on anytime you're available to, you know, update with, you know, all your future endeavors.
Great, I really appreciate it. I'll definitely come back whenever I have something new to talk to you about.
Sweet, sounds awesome. Thank you so much. It was so great talking to you, Adrian Bustamante, everyone.
You guys,
thank
bye.
You so
thank
much.
You.
Bye. Thank you. Awesome. He was amazing. He was so sweet. Very, very cool. It was hilarious getting to talk to him. He's so funny. Very, very cool. So everyone check out everything he has that he's doing, all that cool stuff. Very, very talented. So, yes, let's see here. I want to mention here. So is our next guest here?
I believe someone had a little
techie difficulty.
Issues,
All right. See, that's why I leave it all up to you. That's why I ask you first, because you never know. You never know. Wally Montgomery, everyone. Woohoo!
How's it going?
Hi, it is going great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you, Josie, for having me on tonight. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. I am very excited to talk with you. We'll have fun. It'll be fun.
Cool.
Very cool. So let's get to know you a little bit better.
Okay.
How old were you when you first started performing, and when did you really realize that you wanted to do this for the rest of your life?
Well, my first performance would have to be probably at the age of 5. I began taking piano lessons fairly young. I come from a musical family. My grandmother and my mother are both piano players, so I really had no choice as far as that went. When I was 5, I started taking piano lessons. So, of course, if you're taking lessons, you end up having to do recitals, too. So on stage at 5 years old. But like a lot of kids, you know, a couple years ago by, and I couldn't stand taking piano lessons, so I quit. And then around 10 years old, I picked up the guitar. And, of course, fell in love with the guitar, and soon after that, picked up the piano again as well. But the guitar is really my main instrument. And,
very, very cool.
Ever since I was 10, and just, you know, playing for parties and stuff, you know, through my teenage years and stuff. But nothing real big until I got into my later teenage years, really.
Really, really cool. I love that you started at, like, 5 years old. I mean, it was probably really cute the first time you performed, you know, little one on the stage performing.
Yeah,
it probably gave you a lot of, you know, confidence and stuff, you know? It's really cool.
Well, I don't know about the confidence part, but yeah, I was up there playing, and we have some great, you know, old cassette recordings of it and old film and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's neat to look back on.
Very, very, very cool. Very neat. And so, growing up, who would you say are your biggest musical influences? Who you really look up to? Who you listen to?
After I heard Eddie Van Halen play guitar, soon after I started playing, I heard a song called Eruption, which is like a minute and 30 seconds of him just playing solo on the guitar. And soon after I heard that, I knew that that's pretty much what I wanted to do. So I spent the next, I guess, 6 months learning that and I finally learned it, which is a really hard piece to play, but I was able to figure it out and play it. And he kind of was my main influence as far as my style and my playing and what I like to listen to through most of my young life. And, of course, still like listening to it now. But, yeah, Eddie Van Halen was probably the biggest one. I'd say other than that, mainly it was guitar-oriented stuff that, you know, really sparked my interest as far as music went through my teenage years. The guitarist Joe Satriani. Steve Vai, Eric Johnson, guys like that who, you know, you really didn't hear them on the radio. They were just instrumental music type things that you had to be a guitar player to even know about, really. But that's who was really my influence, you know, growing up. And, of course, I was listening to whatever was on radio through the 80s. I mean, you had Poison, you had Motley Crue, you know, all the bands that were big in the 80s. That stuff was, you know, playing all the time as well.
Definitely, definitely. Very, very cool. And I have to mention, though, there are some congratulations that are in order for you because you are up to 10,000 listens on Reverb Nation. How does that make you feel? 10,000?
I actually feel really good about it because I've only been on there now for almost 2 months. So, I mean, put them out there. Got to come from out of nowhere, really unknown. And to get that many plays that quick, I mean, I know in a worldwide scheme of things, that's not a whole lot of plays, but for a guy like me coming out of, you know, rural Georgia, that's a lot of plays to get in a short amount of time.
Well, 2 months. I mean, 10,000 in 2 months, that's crazy. That is really cool. Big congrats.
Yeah, well, thank
love
you.
Love it.
I was excited to see that this morning when I woke up and saw 10,000 plays on there.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very, very cool. And I want to mention your debut album titled Drive is available now. Can you tell us about it and what our listeners will find in this album?
Yeah, kind of what this album is the last 2 years of my life I've kind of spent out of public performance, just kind of songwriting and working on doing demos and recording songs and that sort of thing. So really what this is the beginning of these last 2 years of songwriting, finally making it, you know, out to the public. And so basically what I've been doing is, you know, I've got all the studio equipment I need here in my house to set up and do my recording. So basically I've done the album completely on my own as a one-man project, played all the instruments, did all the engineering and mastering and everything. And what people can expect to hear from a musical standpoint is kind of a mix of all the influences I had growing up. I mean, you're going to hear some of the 80s rock in there. You're going to hear the pop from the 80s and 90s. You're going to hear the country music that I started getting into, you know, on into the late 90s and through the 2000s, you know. You got the modern pop country sound in there for sure, which is kind of where it fits in radio these days. But, you know, it kind of fits into the modern rock radio, too. The first song, I believe, that you might end up playing tonight is called Devil in a Whiskey Bottle. And believe it or not, even though it's billed as a country song, I had some rock stations pick it up and start playing it, and they were, you know, digging the song as well. So I thought it was pretty cool that the rock stations wanted to play it, and the country stations did too. So I thought that was kind of neat that it kind of crossed those borders like that.
Yeah, that is neat. I love that you, you know, play different genres. You're interested in everything. You know, you keep it fresh. You add your own touch to different, you know, music. I mean, that really shows how artistic and talented you are, you know? It's really cool.
Well, that's the thing. When I'm doing these songs, I try not to say, okay, this whole album is going to be a definite country sound. Or I try to let the song kind of dictate where I'm going to go. Sometimes it doesn't always end up right, but still I kind of, you know, I don't care if it winds up sounding like a pop song or a country song or just straight up rock song. Whatever it comes out is how it's going to be. I don't try to force it into the genre. I just let it happen.
Exactly, exactly. And yeah, I mean that's a really good segue because we're about to play "Devil in a Whiskey Bottle" right now. But your fan Sam right now in the chat room says hello, and he is listening.
What's up, Sam? And actually, Sam is how I found out about you, so I need to give a shout-out to Sam for hooking me up with you. So thanks, Sam. I appreciate it, man.
Love it. Thank you, Sam. Very, very cool. So, yes. Now, let's play your song, Devil in a Whiskey Bottle, and we will be right back, all right?
Okay. Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Anytime, Wally Montgomery, Devil in a Whiskey Bottle. By Wally Montgomery. And for those who are just tuning in now, we are chatting with Wally right now. So, Wally, where can our listeners go to purchase your music?
Well, it came out last Thursday, and it is available pretty much anywhere online. You go to any of the big retailers you can think of. Of course, iTunes. It's on Amazon, the Microsoft site. Go to Rhapsody if you want to stream it on Spotify. Pretty much anywhere you can get it. It's just not in physical stores, so you can't go to Walmart and buy it. It's just being released online and in downloadable format.
I love that. It's much easier. You know, you don't even have to leave your house. You could be in your PJs and get the music, so much easier. Love it.
Yeah, I figured out. I can't remember the last time I bought a physical CD. I've been using iTunes and the internet downloads now forever, and I figure that's the way to do it. So
yeah,
did it that way.
Exactly. It is the way to do it. I mean, I put all my songs, you know, on my iPods and iPhones and everything that starts with an I. So that's all that matters right now. Yes, love it. Perfect. So everyone check it out.
You can also go to Reverb Nation. Of course, everything's up there. You know, if you just want to take a listen to it, you can stream everything off of Reverb Nation, too.
Perfect. I love it. Awesome. And if anyone is confused, you could always type in Wally Montgomery, and we'll post links after the show of all of the guests and all that fun stuff. So easy access, so you could check out all of the music. Yes. And also, can you give everyone the links to your website or some social networking sites so they can keep up on all your latest news and chat with you?
Yep, of course, Facebook, like everybody, is kind of the main portal to get in touch with all my stuff, so you can go to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Wally Montgomery Songs is the main site off of Facebook. We just go to Facebook and type in my name. You can connect to my personal page, or you can, you know, connect to my musician page. So go there, and then, of course, you have the Reverb Nation site, so just go to Reverb Nation, type in Wally Montgomery, and it'll pull up there as well. And then I'm on Twitter, too. So, you know, wherever you want to go and follow me, you can find me. I'm there.
Easy. Perfect. It looks like we actually have a caller for you.
Cool.
So let's put them on the air. It's Sam. I just got the thumbs up. It's Sam. Awesome.
Oh, Sam. Cool.
Hey, cool. Sam, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's going on, Sam?
Awesome.
All right, brother, man. You just keep on doing what you're doing, man. You're doing great, and I just wanted to, you know, tell you how much I appreciate your talent because you're putting it out there, brother.
Well, thank you, Sam. I appreciate you, all the support and nice comments you've given me over the past couple months and checking out my stuff on Facebook and Reverb Nation, man. Every little support we get along the way sure means a lot, so I really thank you.
Heck yeah, I'm gonna get it out there as much as I can, man. That's, you know, I was trying to put some stuff together for talent here locally in Columbus, but, you know, things haven't worked out for me yet. We need some better promoters out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's tough putting stuff together, I know, but I just appreciate the support and the local support we get, man.
Heck yeah, brother. When you gonna be playing down here again?
I don't have anything booked, Sam. I'm just doing radio. That's all I've got booked for the next couple months is radio stuff. So, as far as I can see, I don't have any public stuff booked yet.
Yeah, we need to get you out there, man.
It's gonna have to happen one day or another.
Well, I'm ready for it. You got the voice, you got the music, you're just doing it up.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so, so much, Sam, for calling in. And kudos to you. Thank you so much for giving us Larry's information. You get kudos for that, right? Thank you.
Yeah. If it wasn't for Sam, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. So Sam's
exactly.
The reason why we're talking.
Well, I appreciate that, y'all, because that's what, you know, that's just what I love to do. I've got an 11-year-old daughter that's a singer-songwriter, and she's doing really, really well right now. We've got her into B&A talent, her and my son both did a thing not too long ago here locally in Columbus, and they made it all the way through the whole session and got an agent now in B&A talent in Tennessee.
Aww.
So hopefully they're going to go somewhere. But,
yeah.
And I've got other friends like Kayla King. I'm going to try to get with you here pretty soon, Tina. And, you know, Ricky Gunn's been on the show as well. But.
Yes. Well, tell your kids we say hi.
I will definitely do that. They just went to the Randy Houser concert down there in Phoenix City, so they left me home alone. this is about Wally, so I ain't going to take y'all's time up.
Thank you so much, Sam, for calling into the show.
Oh, you're welcome. And
thank you, Sam.
Y'all have a great evening. I'm still listening, so.
Appreciate it, Sam. Thank you, man.
We appreciate y'all, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Sweet. Love it. Callers are always fun. So let's see here. I would love to play your next song here, Chicken Salad, and we'll be right back.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. And yum. Chicken salad. Anyway, here we go. Chicken salad. That was Chicken Salad by Wally Montgomery. And so do you write all of your own songs?
Yeah, I write all my songs. I write all the music.
Very, very cool. Love that. And what's some of your inspiration, you know, behind some of the songs? Like, do you write about, you know, personal experiences, or do you like to tell a story? What inspires you?
Pretty much life experiences are what inspires most of the songs. Of course, you know, every now and then I'll write something that's just kind of a fun song that doesn't necessarily have to come from personal experience. But like, for instance, the song you played first, Devil in a Whiskey Bottle, comes from personal experience of having my own battles with alcohol and whatnot. Thankfully, I haven't come out on the winning side of that battle so far. But definitely, mm-hmm. you know, that was written out in a hotel room out in Denver, Colorado, a couple of years ago. And it was kind of a turning point for me in my life, that song was, because it kind of showed me that I had a problem and that I needed to get help, which I did. And it's also kind of a song that gives me and hopefully others a little bit of hope that, you know, you can, if you have a problem like that, you can overcome it. You can move forward. And so that was the kind of inspiration of that song. Unfortunately, I had to live that one, which is a video, and that's kind of the heaviest message of all. But
exactly.
A lot of people go through that, and you know, unfortunately,
right.
I
it is
I
really relatable, and also, you know, it's a very healing song. You know, it, you know, it shows people that you can get through it. You know what I mean? So that's a really good message that you put out there. You know?
Yeah, it's I didn't realize how many people had, you know, dealt with that. You know, a lot of people suffer from that, and you know, you just don't know it because you don't know the person well enough. But a lot of people, that song is actually what has really gotten me a lot of attention, is because so many people have related to that song. It's kind of connected to people on a different way than any song I've ever written before has connected to people. And so I think that after writing that song, that's kind of what drove me to get the rest of my songs out there, because of how strongly that one connected to people. And like I said, that song itself really was a pivotal point in my life, having written that one and performing that one.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And I want to know, are you currently working on any other projects, or are you just mainly, you know, promoting your upcoming, your album that already released, and also are you writing some new songs? What you doing?
Here's my plan. Over the previous last 2 years, I've written about 40 or 50 songs, and I'm still constantly writing. And so I've already started my second album, which, believe it or not, it's going to be out by the end of the summer. It'll be the next set of, I guess, 12 to 15 songs. And then there'll be at least one more album out by the end of the year. So I'm going to get as many of these songs released as I can, as quickly as I can. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, time in the day to get them all recorded properly. So
right.
I would say within the next year, you should see about 6 albums. So we'll see.
Whoa, very, very cool. And you have to let us know, you know, keep us updated. So that'll be our excuse to have you back on, so we can promote those bad boys.
Yeah, and if you get on my Facebook page or whatever, you can follow my demos as I'm recording. I stick stuff up on there for people to check out and listen to, so they can hear progress and see what's going on. Sometimes I get good feedback. Sometimes people say, hey, not liking that one too much, but, you know, I put it out there anyway. So, yeah, you can definitely keep up with what I'm doing on my Facebook page.
Very, very, very cool. So, let's see. I want to ask you some fun questions here.
Okay.
Do you, before a performance, before you perform, do you have any pre-performance rituals that you like to do, or any good luck charms, anything like that?
mainly what I need to do now is just kind of zone out and kind of just mellow out and stay calm and focused on what I've got to do. Of course, got to warm up the fingers and get the blood flowing. And if I'm singing, of course, I got to get the vocal cords going. So just, you know, sitting there on the guitar, running through a song or two just to get warmed up. But no, nothing fancy, nothing, you know, nothing out of the ordinary, really, other than just trying to get prepared, shake out some of the butterflies.
Exactly. Very, very, very cool. When you are performing, what can our listeners expect when they come out to see one of your live performances?
Well, like Sam mentioned before, I actually haven't performed live in a public arena in nearly 2 years now. So really the only performances I've been doing as of late is, you know, just in-studio radio promotion, like live on-air things, which has been me with an acoustic guitar. Oh, cool. So as of right now, really the only thing you can see is just me with an acoustic guitar. I haven't really put together a band to go out and perform these songs as a full band.
Mm-hmm.
So I really honestly don't know what the future holds as far as that goes. But this whole album, the songwriting kind of came about not as a fluke, but it kind of came quicker than I thought it would. So I really didn't put a lot of forethought into what I would do after doing the album. I'm kind of here. I put out an album and these radio shows started calling, and so I've just been doing that. It's kind of this time around that I'm out here doing music. It's kind of weird is that the people are coming to me asking for me if they could play my music, and as opposed to years ago going out and kind of begging to get my music played. So it's
right.
kind of neat to be in a little different side of the coin, I guess. But
yeah.
I guess if the time comes where I do need to put together a band and go out there, we'll see what we have to do then. But right now, there are no public performances in the books yet, just radio shows.
Well, you definitely have to let us know when you do, because we'd love to have you come to Illinois or anywhere close. I'd love to meet you and get to check out one of your performances. That'd be really cool.
Well, maybe that'll happen.
Sweet. That would be really, really cool. And so let's see here. What's some more fun questions? I love fun questions. What's the craziest thing that you've ever been asked to autograph? That was that was originally fan questions. Now we just kind of, you know, just incorporate it because it's a really funny, interesting question. But what is the craziest thing that you've ever been asked to autograph? Anything crazy?
Really, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything other than just, you know, autographing someone's T-shirt or CD or picture or...
Yeah.
Really, really nothing out of the ordinary. I don't have anything really good to give you on that one. Nothing funny.
But not bad. Definitely. Like
no.
A T-shirt and all that fun stuff. You got... That's
yeah.
Dedication right there. Dedicated fan.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. let's see here. So I really want to play the last song of yours for tonight here.
Okay.
Let's play your song, Country to Me, and we will be right back, okay?
Do you want to hear a quick backstory about that song first?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. That song, Country to Me, has kind of came out of the idea of how a lot of songs on country radio nowadays are kind of all about dirt roads and how country they are, this and that. And a lot of some of these country artists really probably didn't grow up in the country and aren't as country as some of these songs make them sound like they are. So this song is kind of me poking fun of what I would call, you know, city boy coming in and singing a country song. So it was kind of written tongue-in-cheek, you know, just kind of, you know, in a joking moment. But, yeah, the song's called Country to Me, so there you go.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you. That's awesome. Now, let's check it out. I'm very excited, to hear this song now that you gave us the story behind it. Very cool. Thank you. So let's play that now, Country to Me, and we will be right back.
anything.
And that was Country to Me by Wally Montgomery. And so here I have some more fun questions for you. What are some things that you like to do for fun when you're not working on your music? Any hobbies or fun stuff like that?
Music kind of is my fun and my hobby all at the same time. Music is really what I like to do just about any of my free time. But, of course, you know, I'm married as well, so me and my wife like to, you know, we got a couple of dogs we like to hang out and play with. We like to, you know, spend time with our family. And, of course, travel. We just got back from a pretty cool vacation over in Hawaii, so we try to get out and see new places when we can. Traveling is probably one of our favorite things we like to do together. But, music means a lot, my hobby and my pastime, too, so I'm never too far away from my guitar.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, you have a talent. You got to do it any place that you can. Very cool.
Love it.
And here's another fun question that I love to ask. Have you ever had any onstage embarrassing moments you can share, or any embarrassing moments, at all? I love that question.
Probably the most embarrassing thing is when you get up there. It hadn't happened in a while, but get up there and forget the words, like starting out a verse or something like that. That's happened a time or two, and you're just, of course, standing there, you know, just kind of stuck playing through the chords as you're trying to remember the words. And, you know, when you look out at your audience, they know you just forgot the words. So it's embarrassing. Thankfully, it happens when, you know, a few times we play cover songs. You know, of course, by playing my own music, I don't forget the words. But playing cover songs in the old days and in bars and stuff, you know, when you got to learn 50 to 100 different cover tunes, you're bound to forget a word here or there. It's going to happen.
Right. And it just shows that, you know, you're human, you'll forget things and all that other stuff. But I think it's a really good icebreaker. You know, it gets the crowd laughing or, you know, into it. You know what I mean? Not bad.
It's just kind of, you keep it lighthearted when you're, you know, playing around in the clubs and stuff. And that's one way you can do it. If you can't laugh at yourself, then, you know, you got to get a better sense of humor.
Exactly. Well, that one's not that bad. We've heard some very interesting wardrobe malfunction, et cetera, kind of stuff. So that one's not that bad.
Thankfully, none of that's happened. No wardrobe malfunctions for me yet. Hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah, definitely. Let it stay that way. Exactly. very, very cool. And I have to say, thank you. We actually ran out of time. But I have to say, thank you so, so much for coming on the show. And, I mean, it's seriously an open invitation. We'd love to have you back on the show. You know, if you want to talk about anything that you got in the works or what you have out, keep in touch.
Okay, I will definitely do that. And thanks again for having me on and for kind of getting me on so quick as well to kind of support the album that just came out. So I really thank you.
No problem. It is my pleasure. That's what I love to do. I love to promote, especially talented artists like yourself. And I was grooving out to your music. And everyone, remember to check out his music. Every download site, and we'll actually post your links and all that fun stuff on Facebook, Twitter, all that cool stuff. So, all good.
Cool. Yeah, all you got to do is type in my name wherever you go, and it should pull up what you're looking for. So, not too hard to find.
Exactly. Google is our friend, people.
Yes,
very cool. And so thank you so much once again, and keep in touch and have a great rest of your night, okay?
Thank you very much, Josie. You do the same.
Thank you so much. Wally Montgomery, everyone. Woohoo! Awesome. We had some very sweet and talented people on the show. I just had a blast. I mean, we had some comedy going on. We had some acting going on. We had some we had some great music to fulfill our needs. I mean, we had it all. But I wanted to give some very special thank yous to some great Facebook groups that I found that helped me to fill up my guest books. And when I say fill up my guest books, I mean we are booked like madmen. I'll wait to September, you said? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, we're covered. very cool. I'm excited. John at Talent Hookup, Don at Keeping It Country, Jenna from Country Music World, Andrew from Supporting Great Talented Kids and Teens, Talented Kids Depot, and Danny from Songwriters Unite. So definitely, and those are just a few. If you type in, you know, anything, there's tons and tons of different sites that you can go to find artists that you want to connect to, or just find great music. I mean, you know what I mean? So that's what it's there for. So check it out. Also, let's see, some announcements that we have tonight. Our former guest and friend, Shadow Play, will be coming to Illinois on August 10th. They'll be performing at the Guest House, which is at 15 North Grove Avenue in Elgin. So if you live in the area, make sure you come check them out and stop by and say hello if you see me out there, because I will be at that concert. So very excited. I am so excited. I love seeing past guests, shows, because I get to talk to them and then I get to see them in their environment. Very cool. Also, we are asking you to help support Conscious Music Entertainment and their effort to mentor our youth. So please go to www.missionsmallbusiness.com, missionsmallbusiness.com, and click on the button that says Login Support. Then type in Conscious Music Entertainment, choose the state Kentucky and the city of Alexandria, Alexandria, then hit the vote button, and then that's all you need to do, and we would really, really appreciate it. Everyone that's, you know, involved with Conscious Music Entertainment would very much appreciate it. So, yes, let's see what else I have to mention here. Okay, so, you know the Humongo lineup of guests I was mentioning? Yeah. here they all are. It's insane, I tell you. It's very cool. So, let's see. We have Brad Howard, Gary Cook, Bonnie McGill, Scott Carter, Kevin Kramer, Marvin C. Jr. Thiel, Kaz Hunter, Double L, Darren Warner, Kylie Evans, Texas Bobby Dean, Larry C. Johnson, Them Morris Boys, Josh Logan, Preston Somerville, Paul Lopez and the 151 Turnarounds, Kelly Lee James, EMJ Taylor, Darren Rhodes, Stefan Jacobson, Red Jenkins, and Don Murdoch. So very, very exciting. And stay tuned, because soon I will release details because the Josie Show is hitting the road again. That's right. I will do a live show from a concert in Park with Scott Nickel. So stay tuned to hear all of the details for that as well. I'll even be able to hop on stage to sing my song and a few other things for a few minutes. So that's going to be very, very exciting. So you could come on down and check that out. I'll give you more details soon. And also, you can check out this Humongo lineup of guests that I mentioned on our website, josieshow.com, along with the dates that these guests are going to be on and their information, bio, and video of their work. So, yes. And we're currently looking for September, so if you would like to be featured on the show, please email Tina, T-I-N-A, at josieshow.com, or go to the contacts tab on our site at josieshow.com and send us a message. We would love to hear from you. So, yes, also I want to mention this week on Josie's Heart Country, my guest will be awesome singer-songwriter Debbie Kelly. So make sure you tune in on Sunday, June 3rd for that show at 7 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. You can probably hear my dog barking in the background. See, he wants to be interviewed too. Anyway, I have chart-top and country music on that show and a great video to share and our first song request. Yes! Woohoo! So you could tune into that show at www.thesouthernstar.org. Click on the Josie's Heart Country tab, and then, bam, magic. So very cool. Now, this is a very, very exciting segment. We will bring the fan of the month here. So let me bring on my producer, Tina Marie Pasentino, to the show. Say hello to the Josie Show viewers.
Hello, everyone. I heard strange noise. I hope that wasn't some weird sound effect. Okay.
I have no idea. That was crazy.
So,
anyway.
We have got a bunch of new segments that are coming up on the show.
We do.
Yeah, we're going to start doing some things weekly and some things monthly, but tonight we've got some very exciting news, and we've got some very special winners, too.
Yeah, should I mention all of them right now? You want me to
just do the whole thing?
Exactly.
Week, boom, we've got some new fun.
Exactly, we do. I mean, and we're always up to taking suggestions on what you would like to see, so always give us your suggestions.
And one of our favorite things is staying connected with our listeners and having that interaction.
I love interaction. Yeah.
Do that. But this is absolutely awesome. We love that.
True.
So we're going to bring a little bit more of that in there because we just can't get enough of you guys. That's all.
It's true. We're addicted. What can I say? We're addicted to you. It sounds crazy. But yes, it's true. So now, for some Josie Show announcements, we're bringing new segments, of course, to the weekly Josie Show for your enjoyment and your enjoyment only. Starting next week, we will bring you a weekly featured original song by great independent artists. If you would like to have a song considered, please email it to Tina, T-I-N-A, at josieshow.com. Featured original song.
That's
yeah.
Right. So we will feature an independent artist song each week.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys go ahead and send me an MP3 of the song that you would like to be considered for this, and each week we will play it and promote it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we'll start that next week. Rock on.
Rock on.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very exciting.
So send me your songs right away.
Send them away. And also, hold on. I got to fix my headset. My headset's falling out. Wait.
Well, it's the hair.
It's the hair. I got my curly hair on today, and it's stuck. It's all over the place. So sorry about that. I thought I was going to have to call someone to get my hair untangled. I know. It's so wild. You know what? It's not impossible. Let's just say that.
That's
it can happen.
True.
Yeah, so that was a little scary. Anyway, we are going to try also a question a week to get our listeners ideas on interesting topics during the week. I'll post them on our Facebook pages, and we'll share the answers and opinions each Friday night. So question of the week. So that's going to be very interesting to get everyone chatting away and all that cool stuff. We love opinions. And then a very exciting segment. I can't speak now. We'll bring you a fan of the month on the first Friday of each month that we will thank and shower with love for the whole month long. We'll put all whole month long, and we will put all of our fans that make contact with us here in the chat room by phone, on our site, by email, on our Facebook or Twitter pages, anywhere you make contact with us, you will get your name in the hat for a once a month drawing, and we're going to pick our very first fan of the month tonight.
Actually, you know what?
What?
So, you know, we're kind of slipping this in on you here, you know. We're going to give you a little surprise with this. But we thought that since it's your very first Fan of the Month segment, that we were going to select two to start with.
Ooh, I like it.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So I know that you drew one before
the
show.
Yeah, I drew one. How about you draw one now?
I drew one just a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So
remember, this is all random. We actually scrambled and put all of our fans here in a hat, and we picked one, shook it up a little bit with our magic. So two fans of the month. I picked one just now, and I did mine before the show, but my producer picked one before the show, just now. I'm so confused. Oh, goodness. I'm tired. That's hilarious. It was a long day.
You can't leave us alone with a contest.
It's never. You never know what can happen.
Okay, so we're going to do this once a month. So the very first Friday of every month, we're going to select. And then those people get all kinds of special love and announcements. So
they get the special royal Josie Show treatment.
You will get to see the treatment that they get here. Wait a minute, we're having another malfunction, hence all the static. So pardon all the noise that's happening currently.
Sorry about that. Got stuck in my hair again. This thing is crazy.
We're having an issue. Just stop touching
okay.
it. Okay.
I wasn't touching it. My hair is the one that touched it. Blame my hair. Yell at my hair. It's true. This thing's dangerous.
Too bad it's all real. Otherwise, I'd unhook it or something.
Okay. Oh, that sounds scary. Oh, man. That sounds scary.
You're out of luck.
Oh.
All right. I can't even help you. It's all there. That's all it is. All right. So are we ready to select our fans before we get, cut off?
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, so the one that I picked, let's see. Drum roll, please. I don't think we have a sound effect for it, but we'll do.
Oh, I'm sure we do, but, you know.
The winner is Country Fan Dub for the Fan of the Month. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I always look for a time to say that. Whenever I can use it, I use it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Country Fan Dub.
Congratulations.
We'll send you a special message with requests for stuff and get you stuff and sign stuff up. And we're going to do all kinds
of stuff. We'll do all kinds of stuff for you.
Well, you don't even know what we're going to do to you yet. We
yeah,
can,
you
we
don't
promise
know.
We'll make it all appropriate.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. I mean, I'm 17. It can't be that crazy. So just imagine that. I mean, you're lucky you don't have, like, a Barney being sent to you right now. So I'm just saying. Okay, well, I just gave my secret. I just gave my secret. Dang. Anyway.
Awesome.
Something you can remember.
All right, so we've got one more to announce.
Yes, who did you pick? Wait, let me do drum roll. Okay.
Okay, right out of the hat.
I'm going to break this table. And it is.
Who is
it? I know. It's a fancy
drum roll. Pickle
Hail! Yeah, woo! Wow, we should have given you a hard time.
Ooh,
okay, Ma, no, no. No, yeah, oh my goodness.
Oh, that is so exciting. Congratulations, Pickle Ham.
Congratulations.
Okay. We will message you too, and we'll send you all different kinds of love as well.
Love.
How does that sound? Isn't that exciting?
It is.
I'm
awesome.
Super excited about this.
It is. Big time congratulations to our fans this time of the month. Thank you guys so much. I'm so wild. I probably shouldn't have had that Kit Kat bar.
Kit Kat bar? You mean those stomachs? I'm just kidding.
They're in little individual Kit Kat bars for your information. Okay?
Okay, so, oh my goodness gracious, we can't see what's going on because we have both been booted out of the chat room. And
guys, you only got 3 minutes left in the show.
You want to know what's really funny? We get booted out of our own chat room more than our guests do.
This is your 3 minute warning.
What? 3 minutes warning?
See, that's what happens when we get booted, because then we don't know what's going on with the time.
Oh, my goodness. Wait,
I don't know. See if you can make that happen. That would be fabulous.
Okay, wait. Let me see what's going on here. Wait.
That
is
awesome. I think we could talk for 3 minutes. What do you think?
Wait. Oh, my gosh. It's not working, people. Oh, my gosh. Panic. Panic.
That is a riot.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm just going to go with the flow and say it's 3 minutes. You're probably correct. So,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. So,
right. Okay, awesome.
Make sure.
Oh, please don't. Oh, please don't.
We already went off to do that.
Yeah, it's okay, though. Oh, my goodness. Okay, thank you. People got so big that I'm, like, singing Barney. Anyway, so big time thank you, everyone, so much for coming to the show. And just last remembrancing, I don't know.
Reminder.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. I'm hyper.
Sugar. Oh, my goodness.
I am. I can't even talk right.
We are going to be out of control.
I know. Okay? Oh. Wait. Add that word to my Josie dictionary, please.
Which one?
The remember rinsing. remember rinse.
Like
I don't know what I just
someday.
Said. Yeah, we definitely do because, remember rinsing is going to be the future, people. Anyway, okay, I'm crazy, I know. So my CD, Remember Everyone, is in hard copy and download. They're available here on josieshow.com, as well as my music site, josiepassantino.com. There are also some fun packages available, like my face on, you know, wallets, keychains, all that fun stuff when you buy my song. Yeah, my song. Okay, I know, I'm crazy, I know. And remember, after every single show, they get archived, so they're on there forever and ever. So I'll be like 80 years old, and you'll be able to listen. Hi, I'm Josie. Okay, I know. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Okay, you know what? If you would like to advertise on radio for an incredible price, I know I'm crazy. We're going to be offering an unbelievable advertising deal. Try saying that six times fast. Email our producer at Tina, T-I-N-A, at josieshow.com for all of the details. Yes, advertise, advertise, advertise. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for my guest, Cassie, Jordan, Adrian Bustamante, sorry about that, and Wally Montgomery. See, I know all of them by, like, heart, by, like, memory. See how amazing I am? I don't know what I'm saying. Okay, you know what? Thank you so much for coming to the show. I need a nap.
Like, you're going to get to sleep. You're going to be jonesing. What time is it?
Oh, man. Thank you so – well, I don't know.
I have a little time clock thingy.
I don't know. It got deleted. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
what did I do?
Good.
Oh, it's 8:57. Oh, my goodness. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you guys soon next time on The Josie Show, Friday, 7 o'clock. Central time zone, 7 p.m. Central time zone, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, right?
That is correct. And let's make sure everybody remembers, keep a watchful eye on Josie's Facebook page, on her Josie Show Facebook page, because that's where you're going to find the question of the week, some special stuff going on.
You know what we need? You know what we need? We need one of those fancy things like question of the week, you know, something like
do.
That. You know, like something funky, what's the other ones, like fan of the month, you know, fun, like, you know what I mean, like
let's
something like
do
that.
It.
How's that?
Oh, we got to, yeah, we're gonna do some of that.
I'm gonna record those after the show.
It?
Yeah, I'm gonna make like really funky ones.
Oh,
okay,
awesome.
Sorry,
we'll
I don't know.
And he'll put some like sound.
Yeah,
behind
I already know.
Like
that. It's true. Rocks like that. Okay, awesome.
Oh,
thank you guys so much, and we will see you guys next Friday only on the Josie Show. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Good night, everyone.